Tonight we're going to be in the book of Romans again, but I've asked Brother Mahika come to just give us a quick report tonight. He's back in just for a short amount of time, but he's been doing some great work, and we got to read a little bit about you in that radio magazine that they put out and had an article. You come, my brother, quickly tonight if you would. Appreciate him. Amen. Very much, my brother.
And your family.
Hello, everyone. Good to be back. Amen. I got to say that I do miss America. Amen. But we do miss America, but we are excited to be in the place where God wants us to be. Amen. And we've been in the country of Paraguay for 2 years already. And once we got there, we started working. We started working with a church that was there already. We were helping them for about 6 months, and then we venture on ourselves, and we started working in a town that is called J. Augusto Saldívar. And yeah, it's a long name. And there are probably about 60,000 people there. And they're adjacent to another city that is called Guarambaré. And there are probably about another 60,000 there. And so we started working with the children right in the middle of a playground. And through that, our church started growing. We started building already. We have a property that we're paying for, and the buildings that we're building. We're planning to build a couple of rooms for the classrooms for the children. We have the capability to reach over 100 kids in that community there. The only thing is that the labors are few, amen. And so pray to the Father that He'll send labors, amen, to the field. We encounter a lot of Catholic people. Most of our church members are saved people that we had led to the Lord. And so they're just young Christians that they cannot help us, but you know, we're working with them. We believe that God is gonna use them in a short time. This last Sunday we had a service, and although I was not there, The church was still going, and we had about 40 in service. And so I believe that the Holy Spirit is working in their lives, and they do need a lot of prayer. The country is 97% probably Catholic, claiming to be Catholics, and it's a great challenge. A lot of those people, when they get saved, they have to be rejected by their family. And so they struggle. They have a hard time leaving the circles of the family. The area where we work, it's most of them are poor people, and so they're big families. And if they're not with the family, they feel lonely. And so only through the Holy Spirit working in their hearts, we believe that God is going to do a great work in their lives. We have seen already testimonies of some of them expressing that their family has rejected them, but they're trusting in the Lord. They believe that what God is doing in their life is a great change. And so we're excited. We know we experienced that also. You know, some of us, I experienced that myself. You know, a lot of my family are not safe people and are very religious. And some of them has rejected us, but we have the Holy Spirit in us that teaches all things, and we know that we're in the right, in the truth. And so we're excited. And so just keep praying for us. We just came for a couple weeks. We're heading back next Saturday, and we want to stay busy in the Lord's work until He comes. And we just so thankful for this church and for the prayers and for the support that we get from this church, and we're so very excited about that, and we'll continue working until Jesus come. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
It's been doing a great work there in Paraguay and getting it off the ground and getting started there. We appreciate him as one of our missionaries out there. Appreciate him and worked hard here when he was here. And so just so appreciative of him coming and giving that report. And again, this idea of missions is not new to our church, is it? Is it not? There's so many people that have gone out, and we've even seen some come back and work with us here. And appreciative having Brother Morgan back and all those things as we go forward in faith for the Lord. Romans chapter number 4 tonight. Romans chapter number 4. I got just a few minutes to speak to you tonight according to the clock. Amen. Chapter number 4. I don't know if you remember where we left off and the analogy that we made. And so if you weren't here, I want to kind of pick up there and just kind of make remind you of it. There at the end of chapter 3, and we made press really hard. Went a little long. Some of you remember that, don't you? Oh, by the way, I almost forgot. Deacons, I need to meet you real quick right after the service. Now, I know you don't believe real quick, but I just need a consensus tonight. So if we could just meet for, you know, just a couple minutes, okay? So just meet me right there. It won't take long, I promise. I just need to get a consensus so that we can move forward in an area that we've already talked about. Romans chapter number 4 is where we're going to begin, but I want to go back and read just a little bit of context of chapter 3 as we head into chapter 4. He says in verse number 29, is the God of the Jews only? Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Now, he is going to continue this argument into chapter 4, but I want you to see in verse 31, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. So again, the idea here is, if you can understand, the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And last time we had made this analogy, one of the only things I've ever seen or had someone void that I see right void on was a check. And so I just want you to remind you of that and understand that thinking about the idea that the law represents or constantly makes us aware of there is a bill that I could never pay. The check of faith doesn't void the law. It just pays it. It pays everything I owed. It's just this is the law is the accounting ledger, the ledger that tallies up everything and shows me the bill. You know how you go to the register and you just put a bunch of stuff in the buggy and you didn't care what it cost? You wanted those Cinnamon Toast Crunch things, right? You didn't care what it cost, right? And you didn't even want to look at what the milk cost. So you just put it in the buggy and you knew you were going to have to pay the bill. But there's a bill on it. And if you look at it, I mean, when they're calculating it up, the money is getting counted all the way down. And then there's this. We don't always calculate our sins that way. We're not all some big, everybody's sin is exactly the same. It isn't that way, folks. When the law measures every one of us up, it tallies up. But everybody's sin was paid for. The righteous blood of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world writes a check for every man, and the bank ain't emptied out yet. And it doesn't void the law, it just pays it in full for everybody. All right, it tallied up according to the scripture. This is what you owe because of your sin. Bam, paid in full. Check of faith, written by believing in the Son of God. Amen. All I do is believe. I sign my name on the dotted line. The bank account isn't mine. What a blessing it is in this life. And this is why people lose this, because they think they get saved up until a certain point. But my account is cleared out when I get saved. It's taken care of. You say, how in the world did they tally everything forward? Because he's God. Because if he can look at everything in the past and he can look at everything in the future, he's God. He's above it all. I don't even know all the account that I'm going to have but I know it's all paid in full. Amen. The bank of heaven will never run out. The check's always going to be cash. It's always going to be good. And it's never going to void out the law. The law stays the same. it's still ringing up sinners. And if they don't get a check that pays for it all, they'll ring up and it'll be, they could never pay it themselves. The law is there to show us that our good works are never going to equal our sin. It's always still calculating. So we head into that with chapter 4. And so what does he do? He kind of explains all this, that God is the God of all. If you're going to go ahead and just tell everybody that it doesn't matter if you're circumcision, uncircumcision, it's one God and under all, where are you going to go in the Bible to preach that? You're going to go to Abraham. So that's where Paul goes. Paul goes Old Testament. He says, all right, let me take you to Abraham. Now, Abraham, why do you go to Abraham? Could you go before Abraham? Absolutely. But the Jew ain't going to listen to you. He's not going to say, okay, I got you. But when we speak of Abraham, where do they always want to start? You know how good this is? This goes for the Muslims too. They can go to Abraham too. You can preach Abraham to them. By faith that if God saved Abraham, he can save you. You can take everybody back to Abraham. Now you think, well, you know, we got to go back to Adam. Listen, it was Abraham that was the friend of God. It was Abraham that believed and trusted God. It was Abraham, if there's anybody that you can take and, I mean, mark her down, friend, that he trusted God. God put him through a test with his only child. What a picture of God the Father and his only begotten son. And Abraham, by faith, would have taken his own son's life. Now, I just want you to understand this. How much does a man have to believe in God? If he gives himself to God and says, by faith, I trust in you that at the last day, you'll raise me up. But how much more do you have to believe in God to say, I'm going to take my own son's life because God said so, because God will raise him up. That's belief on top of belief. That's trusting and believing in God and believing, I don't know God's plan, but this is what God said and I'll follow it and watch God work. God was a God of miracles. He made promises to Abraham that Abraham never got to see in the flesh. But he will. Abraham was faithful. Hey, folks, let me tell you this. God has made you promises that you'll never see in the flesh. Now, you may see them in purified flesh. But there's some of us that are old enough in here, if Jesus don't come quickly, we may never see him on this side of heaven. We may go in a different way. We always call it the undertaker or the uppertaker, right? And we'd all rather go by the uppertaker, but Abraham was faithful. Abraham stayed the course. Abraham was even one of these kind of Christians, just trying to lay the foundation before we head into chapter 4, just to understand what the Jew understood and the person that studied the Bible. Abraham was chosen because he would order his children after him. You know, most people that can be used greatly of God, God chooses those people because he knows they're not only going to do it for themselves, but they're going to teach others. They're going to teach their children. They're going to teach people that like Paul did, call them sons in the faith. They're going to teach others that are going to go on for God. They're going to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They're going to teach them in the doctrines of the Word of God, and they're going to send them forth. Look at verse number 1. He says, what shall we say then? Again, the argument has been, we are under one God. Now, what shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath what? Found? What's that? What is he found? As pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So even if he's trying to lay out a question, again, there's some things here that we didn't change books, folks. If you can just go back, I know we had a Christmas holiday, and some of you might have missed one or two of these, but Paul is always asking questions. This is like a legal argument. He's dealing with a lot of the law itself, and he's asking questions and trying to get you to think. Do you know sometimes when the teacher's in the class and they don't just give you the answer, but they ask you a question? You know what they're trying to do? Get you to think. And all the students in here go, why would they want us to do that? They want to make sure the gerbil's running on the wheel up there. And it's powering something. And it's because, again, if it's not powering, if the lights aren't on, nothing's getting saved to the hard drive. It's going in one ear and out the other because the squirrel ain't turning. He causes a vacuum and it sucks everything right in. You never heard that one? All right, you ain't been in one of my classes yet. All right, here we go. So, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. Do you know Paul is writing this, and Paul's going to speak about himself, and he's going to even say about himself, if anybody had something to glory in, if somebody was going to glory in the flesh, and Paul is writing the same thing about Abraham. He's saying Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham walked with God. Abraham did things for folks. His nephew Lot chose the wrong road, went down to Sodom, and then Abraham went and got him back. And he went right back to Sodom. And then the friend of God, God said, I'm wondering if I ought to tell my friend what I'm about to go do. And I don't know if you connect all those dots, but God didn't owe that to Abraham, but Abraham was his friend. And he knew it was going to rip his heart out about what was about to happen down there. And he said, Abraham, I'm fixing to go down here. And Abraham went to bat for Sodom. And if you don't think about this, if you want to know who Abraham was, Abraham went to bat for Sodom and he knew exactly who was down there. He went back and took all their spoil back. You don't think there were things in the spoil that Abraham looked at and said, how wicked are these people? You don't think there was stuff in all the stuff that they took back and even the people and the way they acted on the way back while they were taking them home? You don't think Abraham? You don't. And listen, we all think, well, Abraham was being noble and saying, I don't want any of your things, because he was due the spoil after what had happened. He was due to get something himself. And he said, no, I don't want any of that trash. You take that trash back where you got it. I don't want any of that mess to taint me. You take your world back down there. But I guarantee you, after all that, it broke his heart when Lot went back to Sodom. You say, why would God do that? Give us a wonderful example in Scripture. And because Abraham was his friend and he loved him. Abraham went to bat. You know the story? Hey, if there's 50, there's got to be at least 50. Down in a city that size, there's got to be 50 righteous people that walk with God and love him down in that worldly place. And God said, there ain't 50. What if God looked down on Haines City tonight? How many righteous people are in Haines City? How many righteous people are in this place? How many righteous people are in Orlando and Kissimmee? I mean, listen, we don't often go back. The Old Testament is there for our admonition. That's who God's talking to. And he's talking about through Paul as he writes Romans, and he says, if somebody had something to glory in on this side of works, it's Abraham. You say, well, what did Abraham ever do? He didn't build a church. No, God just called him to leave his home and everything that he owned and to spend the rest of his life on the road in a tent. Can you imagine if God just called you and said, I want you to walk all over everywhere because I'm going to give everything you walk on to your children. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd be walking. Now, he didn't get it promised to him, did he? Down the road it was. But I mean, can you imagine? I mean, every step had purpose. Can you imagine? Just think about trusting God to know that every place you put your foot, God was going to give it to you. And wouldn't it be a shame if you didn't have big feet? You'd have to do double time, wouldn't you? You'd have to pick them up, put them down the line. Right? I don't know what your clodhopper measures out to, but mine's almost a 13. Right? So when I put my foot down, it covers a little bit of ground. Now, my dad's about half of that, so he's got to put two down to my one. So I don't know what Abraham was, but even if he was a good 9 or a 10, you think about that. Yeah, can you imagine being Abraham and thinking, and I'm beating around the bush tonight, but I'm enjoying it. Can you imagine being Abraham and just sitting around a campfire and then noticing your foot and realizing the promises of God again? And realizing how good your God is. God told me every place my foot touches, he's going to give it to me. You don't sit around home and think about that? Hey, folks, when I'm sitting back and reminiscing about God, when I start thinking, because if I'm not careful, I get thinking like the world does, that my works, I got to get to work. I got to do this work for the Lord. And then, listen, there's never been anything in the work that brings tears and broken heart to my life. But when I sit there and think about it, ain't got nothing to do about my work. But I couldn't be saved if Jesus hadn't come from heaven and died for my sins. When I listen to the radio station in the morning and they're playing blood songs and every song just seems to hit the tune and fork of my heart, water pours out of my eyes, not because I'm a wimp, but because God is squeezing my heart and reminding me just how good God is. Folks, Abraham is somebody, if anybody had a right to glory, there's some folks, there's some dear saints of God that have been in this building that I've worked with, and I've had the pleasure to spend time with. If I was going to write a name down, I could pin their name down to that. If anybody in the work of God had the right to glory in their works, it would be this man, because I worked with him and I saw what he did. And I could name a few. But I have to reckon everything. I have to realize they came by faith too. I have to realize it's never been about works. It'll never be about works. It's all about the finished work of Jesus Christ. It will always be. Paul's argument will go that way. This is what I love, and this is kind of where we'll wrap it up tonight before we go into this is a good thing for the new year for us to understand. We are big about the Bible here. We're big about the King James Bible here, and we do that for a reason. He says in verse 3, "For what saith the Scripture?" Anytime we're talking about works versus faith, we can give examples, but even for Abraham tonight, I wouldn't know Abraham or anything about him if it wasn't for "thus saith the Scripture." You say, "Preacher, where do you go back?" When you're asked a question about whether this matters or whether that, I've had people come to me and say, "Well, what about an Orthodox Greek Catholic?" And they, you know, I said, if they're adding anything plus Jesus, it's not of faith, it's works. And it doesn't equal salvation. There are people that are brokenhearted tonight over their family because their family believes in Jesus Christ, but they've added works to it, and those people will go to the same devil's hell, believing that there is a Jesus, but that they had to have a piece of it. That they had to work a part of it up. And that breaks my heart, and it makes me want to teach the truth. It wants me to make sure that people, but every time I'm going to speak to anybody, anytime you speak to anybody, the title, the beginning of the phrase needs to be this: "For what saith the Scripture?" I can give coy illustrations about a birthday gift and how you can be saved. But before I ever give that illustration, it should always be reaffirming Scripture that I've already given. It should be a picture being painted of "for what saith the Scripture." You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" I'm saying everything. If you want to spend a year walking with God and realizing your faith, what a year 2020 would be. Think about this. Trusting in thee, what are you trusting in? Everything you know about God comes from the Scripture. Everything you've heard from a preacher's mouth that you hold as truth, he gave you from the Scripture. The Scripture is paramount. Every time we're asked by anybody, "What does this mean?" We talked about this. Our Sunday school campaigns, everything we're doing in Sunday school right now is focused around teaching kids where they came from. Because they can't understand and negotiate the future unless they know where they started. And they didn't start from spit, from evolution, or from a monkey. God spoke the world into existence, but when he came to man, he decided, I'm going to make man in my own image. He took time and he formed him out of the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. Why is it today that I am burdened for the lost souls in Haines City and I'm not trying to go get every lost dog and win them to Christ? Because man is different than a dog. All dogs don't go to heaven. I'm sorry to break every one of your hearts. One of the first things I preached and somebody came and told me that's not true. I talked bad about their kitty cat and where he was going to spend eternity. Hey, folks, God deals differently with man. He always have. He loves man. He gave his son to die for man. Jesus didn't die for a kitty cat or a dog. As much as you might love them, they do not, and they could never be saved the way God saves man. Now, I listened the other day. You say, why are you speaking about this, preacher? Because I listened to Brother Raymond Hancock. I listened to one of his old messages. And he swore up and down one of his old, he had a hound dog, and he believed that dog was saved. Had to be saved, right? And I mean, he preached and kind of kidded around the whole message through the whole thing. But if we're not careful, folks, something that we'll get kid around about or talk about like that, people will take to heart. They'll go to ground on that thing. And next thing you know, we'll have a puppy dog ministry. The world, hey, it didn't take the world long. They're trying to save the polar bears. They're trying to get them out of the ice. Amen. But that's where they live. Amen. They're trying to save the whales. Put them back in the water when they swam on the beach themselves. Amen. You say, preacher, why are you getting on this? Because if we're not careful, even in 2023, look back at last year and think about the lost causes that we spent our life on. We spent our energy and our money and our time and our focus on things that will not be of eternal value. And I'm not trying to knock your little dog. God even gives us for us because we have a conscience, we have a brain, and we have scripture that tells us that we're supposed to treat our animals well. Amen. I mean, we got Bible on that, folks. So God even ordained that, and he gave us dominion over them. But that don't mean we need to have a puppy dog ministry to try to save them all. Amen. That gauge right there isn't trying to go get all the donkeys all around the world and take the burden off of them. That right there is trying to take the burden of sin off of every man and woman that'll listen to the cause of Christ, listen to the gospel. Folks say, preacher, I'm just trying to make sure that you understand God ain't writing checks for dogs. He's not writing checks for cats. If I told you the stories about what happened to some of the goldfish at my house, he ain't writing a check for a goldfish. And they'd put me in jail if I told a couple stories of what Brother James made me do on the bus with goldfish. But how did you conscience that? Well, everybody needs to eat on Sunday. It wasn't a 4-star. I mean, anyway, so make sure you turn the web off. No, it's we kid around a little bit about it. But folks, you know, tonight, I mean, if we're not careful, we'll make an uncertain sound because what we didn't. Do you know it's real simple to go through the scripture and realize God made man his own image. He wants to save every man, that he's written a check that every man, if they would just take that check and sign their name to it, God would pay all their debt. Every one of them. And our business, we can enjoy the animals. God gave us dominion over them. Abraham had a ton of them. And that day when Lot was there, when they were up there, you know what Abraham did? He killed one. He's terrible. And he fed the angel of the Lord. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm just saying God gave those things for us to have a dominion over them. Not to ride roughshod or to be wild men and do whatever we want. He gave them to us to treat right. To eat, to live, to make them beast of burden. He gave us those things to do those things. And again, I can tell you, if we just went a few generations ago, it wasn't hard for Americans, because instead of having horses under the hood, we were in the saddle. And a horse got to carry the gospel. Hey, there was a donkey one day, and he didn't get his soul saved, but he carried Jesus, and he was in prophecy, and he carried him right downtown to where he needed to be. So he showed up in the triumphant entry. But you won't see him in heaven. He may be stuffed there. But if we don't get this thing right, if we don't train the next generation, folks, I'm scared to death of what our kids are learning, because we don't teach them the truth all the time. We teach them enough about salvation, but your kids grow up thinking that all dogs go to heaven. Why do we teach about Christmas and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Why do we teach about Resurrection Sunday instead of calling it Easter Sunday? Because we want to teach them the truth. Why is it so important? Because we've got to get back. And we'll pick up here. But just like Abraham, you know why? How Abraham ordered his family after him? Because his focus was for what saith the scripture. If God said it, Abraham believed it, and he passed it on, and he practiced it in his everyday life. Most of the time, we may believe this book and wave it around, but we don't like to practice it. That's for somebody else. That's for the preacher. And the Word of God and the practice of the Word of God in our home. You say, well, that just, when you're too rough and you got too many rules. It didn't void the law. A God that will write you a rule book is a God that loves you. Enough to tell you where the lines are. A God that loves you to tell you, if you do this, you'll be blessed. If you do this, you'll be cursed. If you do this, you'll have this. And if you do this, you'll go broke. And you got a God that wrote you a book that way. And instead of following him, you think, you know what? I'll try it my own way. And folks, I'm going to tell you, our own way doesn't lead us down a path, because his ways are not my ways. I've said that over and over again. I've said it over and over again lately, because I really believe if we're not careful, we'll get on this bandwagon of the world and even liberal Christianity, so-called. And it'll take us down a road that none of us want to go down. One that will be not, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, it won't be where I want. It won't put me on footing that I want to be on. It won't help me receive the reward that I want to receive. I want my reward to be just like my stakes. Well done. You say, preacher, I got chapter and verse for that one too. Listen tonight. The invitation is this. We're not going to have an invitation. I'll walk an invitation. But tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, I would love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. But if you're here and you're a Christian, and God brought to your mind and heart things that you have left behind that you have clearly written out in Scripture, make a decision to get back to it. Make a decision to walk with him and practice his word. You say, well, everybody around me is going to say I changed. Listen, there is never a wrong thing when we turn for home. Amen. We're turning back to a loving God that loves us and wants to bless us. We're turning back into his will and his way. Amen. This is a good time of year to do it, folks. You got a whole year to be blessed in God's work and his way if you turn back home now. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for a good word of God that blesses us and keeps us, Lord, close to you. And we can know your will, and we can know what you want, and we can know your word enough, Lord, to share it with others. God, I know that we live, even what was mentioned about the Catholics, Lord, in Paraguay, Lord, there are so many people who have added works to faith. And Lord, they need to come to a place where they just simply put their faith and trust wholly and solely in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I beg you now, Lord, help us to be diligent to win souls Help us, Lord, to be faithful till you come, and let us hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name, amen. All right, deacons, if we could meet with you. And folks, I appreciate you. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and I'll see you here Sunday. Amen.